1 to 8. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb. They asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?"
But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed.
"Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you."
Trembling and bewildered, the woman went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone, but they were afraid.
Thank you, Martin and Naomi, for reading that to us. Now, if you were following along as Martin and Naomi read it, why not keep it open as we look at it in more depth now on page 1023? And why don't we pray and ask God for his help? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for Mark, who wrote this down all those years ago. We thank you for the women who saw what they saw and eventually told others, and for the many people in their hundreds who spoke freely about who they saw, walking and talking and eating, alive again, even though they had seen him die. Father, please help us to be people this morning who want the truth, who want to know what the truth is. And Father, please show us the truth. And if it's true that Jesus of Nazareth is no longer dead but is alive today, may we humbly bow before him as our Lord and Saviour this morning. May all of us, in our very hearts, may we leave here celebrating. In Jesus' name, amen. You an early riser? Some immediate shakes of the head. No. Where were you this morning when the sun was coming up in bed? Were you fast asleep? I expect many of us were. On those occasions when we are awake very early and it's still dark and we get to see the sunrise, it can be a wonderful thing, can't it? That the promise of a new day, the feeling of the sunlight banishing the shadows, feelings of hope and a fresh start and a new day. Good days ahead. But for the three women that we read about, there was nothing lovely or hopeful or wonderful about the new day. Most likely they had woken in the darkness with tears. Most likely they had woken with heavy hearts, if they had slept at all. Most likely, sleep would have been fleeting as they remembered things that they wished they could forget. These three women had experienced something together, something more traumatic than we can imagine. they had seen their friend, their brother, pinned to a wooden cross with a hammer and nails. And they had seen him lifted up off the ground, hanging there for hours. Seen his naked body bruised and bloodied after being beaten up and whipped until his blood flowed. They would have heard his ragged breathing from the cross. You and I have to imagine it, don't we, all those years ago. But these three women watched it. It happened in front of their very eyes. And they saw his still body taken down from the cross and laid in a tomb cut out of rock. That was Friday. Now for Jews, remember Saturday was the Sabbath day, a day of rest. But how on earth do you rest after that? The Sabbath was a day of singing. How on earth could you sing after seeing what they saw? The Sabbath was supposed to be a day for feasting, for eating and drinking. How on earth could you eat anything? How on earth could you drink anything after seeing what they saw? That was Saturday. I expect that Saturday felt unending. Because Jesus wasn't just their friend. He wasn't just their teacher. In their eyes, Jesus was the one who God's people had been waiting for. He was the person who the whole world had been waiting for. These women believed that there was a higher power. And when they met Jesus, they met him. They had met God himself, and he had been even better than they had imagined he'd be. And then Friday happened, like some kind of nightmare. Jesus' life had been snuffed out like a candle. And with it, all that he'd promised. Everything they'd hoped for, gone, it seemed. Saturday must have been unbearable. But now it's Sunday. And in the quiet, these three women make their way slowly to Jesus' tomb. And they want to do what they didn't get a chance to do on Friday. They want to give him a proper burial. They want to do it right with oil and spices to have something vaguely resembling funeral. But it only occurs to them on the way as they're walking slowly in the darkness to the tomb. Look at verse 3. Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb? When Jesus was buried in the tomb, they had rolled an enormous stone in front of the entrance. A fairly normal thing to do for a tomb cut out of rock. But this stone, this rock was enormous. It was bigger than a person. You would need multiple people to have a chance of moving it. Multiple soldiers, really. The biggest and strongest that you could find. So now look at verse 4. But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. This is a big deal. It had been a long shot, this last act of devotion, their desperate attempt to say one last goodbye. But how on earth would they have moved the stone anyway? But as they look up, they see that the stone is already moved. The tomb is open. And they went in. Look at verse 5. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. Wouldn't you be? Who is this man? Who is this guy? What's he doing there? Where is the body that they were expecting to see, wrapped in cloths? They saw it, taken down from the cross, wrapped in cloths, put in the tomb. They watched it. They watched them seal the tomb. Where's the body? Look at verse 6. Don't be alarmed, said. You're looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter. He's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. Jesus isn't here, he says. He's not dead anymore. He's alive again. Tell the disciples he'll meet them in Galilee. Go, go, go. How would you have felt if you were one of those women? Well, we're told how the women felt. They went away, as verse 8 says, trembling and bewildered. Probably thinking, what was that about? Who was that guy? Did we imagine that? Could it be true? Could he be risen? Where's his body gone then? And we're told that they kept it to themselves because they were so scared about what they'd heard and what they'd seen. Now, if all we had about Jesus' life was the book of Mark, and if the book ended there, you'd be a bit freaked out, wouldn't you? There's a feeling of, what just happened? And I expect that there are probably some of you here this morning who are a little bit skeptical. Alive again? Risen? After being crucified? No, I don't think so. But the thing is that Mark and Matthew and Luke and John in the Bible all go on to tell us that not only the three women, but all Jesus' disciples saw Jesus alive. They saw him, and they talked with him, and they walked with him, and they ate with him. We're told even that Jesus appeared to crowds of hundreds. He still bore the holes in his hands and in his feet where the nails went in. And he still bore in his side the hole from where the soldier had put the spear into his side. He still had those. But he was alive and breathing, walking around and talking. Now Jesus had told his followers many times that the Son of Man must be handed over and mocked and beaten and killed. And on the third day, he would rise. He had told them, speaking of his body, look, destroy this temple and I will rebuild it in 3 days. Do you remember the story of Jonah in the Bible? Lots of people who aren't Christians know the story of Jonah and the big fish. And Jesus said, look, just as Jonah was in the belly of the huge fish for 3 days, so the Son of Man, me, Jesus, will be in the grave for 3 days. 3 days. So he had told them, he'd warned them. And we saw last Sunday, as we read about Jesus' awful treatment by the soldiers and the horror of his crucifixion, that it was all part of the plan. All part of the plan. In fact, the whole reason that Jesus came to earth was in order to die. Jesus came, the Bible says, to die the death of a criminal. taking the blame for us, for our rejection of God and our rebellion against him. Jesus took the blame on the cross. He took the blame for us. He was carrying the enormous weight of our guilt instead of us, receiving the fair and deserved punishment for sin instead of us, facing God's anger and being condemned instead of us. And it was all part of the plan. As we heard on Friday, a few days ago at the Good Friday service at Woodstock Road Baptist Church, Andrew, who was speaking, said this: it wasn't the nails that held Jesus on the cross. It was his love. It wasn't the nails that held Jesus to the cross. It was his love. His love for you and me. Jesus loved us so much that he let himself be tortured and killed for us to save us. And it was all part of the plan. And just as God had planned for Jesus to die, he planned that within 3 days, Jesus would live again. And in that cold, still, quiet tomb, breath would fill his lungs. Blood would pump around his body. Strength would return to his muscles. He would live again. On the Friday, Jesus had died in agony, in weakness, in frailty, like a lamb led to the slaughter. But on Sunday, he rose again in power, in might, in glory, in victory. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Now, if it's true that Jesus did the impossible all those years ago, that he came back to life again, what difference does it make to us? Well, it makes all the difference in the world. It changes everything. If Jesus beat death, if Jesus rose again, then it confirms for all time that he wasn't just an impressive teacher, but he really was the person that he claimed to be all along, the Son of God. And as the Son of God, he has the power and the authority, he said, to lay his life down when he wants to and to take it back up again if he wants to. And that's exactly what he did. If Jesus hadn't risen again, then everything he said, the big claims that he made, ultimately they would have been hollow. Because at the end of the day, Jesus would be just another dead guy. But we don't worship a dead guy. We worship Jesus, the Son of God, who has the power over the one thing that none of us can control, death. And just as Jesus rose again and will never die again, he has promised the same thing to everyone who trusts him. Listen to these words in John chapter 11, verse 25. Jesus was comforting his friend Martha after her brother Lazarus had died. And this is what he said to her: I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he dies, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Jesus asked Martha. Because Jesus rose again, we can be confident that if we have put our trust in Jesus, that one day we too will rise again As surely as Jesus is alive today, so we too will one day live forever with him. If we are followers of Jesus, the hope of life after death, it's not just something that we tell ourselves to make life a little bit easier. It's not something that we tell ourselves just to make funerals a little bit less painful. We can confidently say that we will live forever precisely because Jesus did it first. If Jesus didn't really come back to life, then the whole thing would come crashing down. It's a sham. If you're skeptical this morning, or you're just not sure, maybe you're just a bit on the fence about who Jesus is and whether this can be believed, please read the gospel accounts about Jesus' death and his resurrection. Please feel free to, as I mentioned before, take one of those Bibles from the table at the back and go away and read for yourself and ask, look, is this trustworthy? Is this accurate? Is this reliable? Anyone at Grace Church would be happy to talk to you about Jesus. That's why we're here. We believe that it is absolutely true that after Jesus came back to life again, he ascended into heaven, and his disciples watched him. They watched him go up into the sky, right in front of them. But just before that, he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And that same Jesus is now sitting on his throne in heaven, ruling over everything. This is his world. And having loved us and sacrificed his life for us, he tells us to do the same thing as he told his disciples. Two words, follow me. If Jesus wasn't raised, then of everyone in the world, we deserve to be pitied. We deserve to be mocked. The Bible says this. We deserve to be pitied of most people this morning. Worshipping a dead guy. Wasting your Sunday mornings. And your Wednesday and Thursday evenings talking about a dead guy. Bowing down before and following a dead guy. But he's not dead. Our Lord Jesus is very much alive. And he is living and ruling, reigning in heaven right now. And we celebrate that wonderful truth today. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's take a moment just to pray on our own and to pray to the Lord and to reflect on what we've heard from God's word before we sing our final song.